Call the meeting to order, March 18th, 2025 at 7 p.m. Is there any additions to the agenda? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve the agenda.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? And that is carried. All right. So first item is we have guests. So a presentation by Karen Wilms and Owen Archibald on backyard beekeeping. So I will give the floor to you guys.
So put this over here. So Owen and I are here to present on backyard beekeeping. What's that? Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Well, I didn't bring my hearing aids.
You want me to get her a microphone?
I wouldn't mind.
Sure. So I'll be doing the presentation, and Owen is here for questions. He's our resident beekeeper. So. Which is good, because I can't see somebody do this because I don't work. Now? Yeah, that's working?
Louder?
It's working.
Good. Okay, that's working. Okay, so backyard beekeeping. Let's see if I can get this to work. So the benefits of backyard beekeeping. We get increased pollination of local gardens and flowering plants for our beautiful community. We increase biodiversity within the village. The opportunity for village residents to be more self-sufficient, increased opportunity for income in the village through licensing, increased draw to our village for homeowners as the bylaws match larger city bylaws, and increased education and knowledge for apiculture. Who wants backyard beekeeping anyway? Well, most Alberta cities allow residents to keep bees. And many cities and communities across Canada allow for backyard beekeeping. Many cities and communities across the USA allow for backyard beekeeping. So who wouldn't want to? I'm sure some people are asking, won't everyone just try it and there'll be bees everywhere? Well, beekeeping requires education, dedication, time, sufficient financial investment, a significant financial investment, and it's not for everyone. Some folks will decide not to keep bees after seeing the requirements. Beekeeping of any size is provincially regulated to ensure safety of the bees, their keepers, and communities. So once again, this helps discourage folks that are not willing to put in the time and attention required to ensure the health and safety of the bees and our communities. Is it safe? That's always a big question. Backyard bee colonies are watched and tended in a way to ensure they will not become aggressive and often go unnoticed by neighbors, as seen in cities where urban bee colonies are currently held. Hive placement can help ensure that when bees are coming and going from the hive, they are in an area that's unlikely to come in contact with neighbors or passersby. We recommend to follow other cities' application process and have neighboring homes notified of beekeeping applications to allow them to voice any medical concerns to the village prior to beekeeping permit being granted to ensure all residents feel safe. Can this be done without huge changes to our bylaws? We believe it can. We've reviewed other cities' bylaws, and it seems that by adding a clause to our animals in the village bylaw to allow for a special license, this could be achieved fairly easily. So I have a sample there for you. What are the recommendations for licensing requirements? So the applicant must be the landowner or long-term renter more than 1 year with permission letter from the landowner. Applicant must show proof of completion of an approved intro to beekeeping course. Applicants must show copies of letters delivered to neighbors prior to application. Applicant must sign bee ownership declaration. And applicant must complete all other license application paperwork required. That's because there is paperwork required by the province as well. So I do have samples of the paperwork that you guys have for handouts as just examples of what could be done. I've adapted it for the village of Harmingay just as a sample, but it's nothing official. This is stuff that has been taken primarily from the city of Calgary and the city of Edmonton. And so these are really common bylaws when it comes to apiculture or applications and requirements. So I've included some links for the available education so that you can see there's different courses that aren't even that far away or even available online that people can do. So it's something that would be accessible. It does require, again, financial investment by the person who wants to keep bees and time investment as well. It's not like someone can just go buy hives and throw them in their backyard and call themselves a beekeeper. That's not quite how it works. And, yeah, that's the presentation. So we do have the specific handouts here and application requirements that we recommend, but Owen is here for any questions that you have.
Yeah. So do you have to worry about Sheila's bees and your bees not being, like, getting along? You know what I mean? Like, is there different varieties? That
no, not when it comes to honeybees, no.
No?
No. No, they won't. They won't bicker if that's what you mean. They won't go out and rob each other or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any swarming behavior is something that's covered in all of the training and the provincial regulations as well as to what has to happen for a beekeeper, what they have to do if there's swarming. Like if a hive splits and they swarm, they try to create another hive. That's behavior that you catch really early and take care of really early. So.
And realistically, it should never happen. Like if you have a course, you know, to beekeep properly. I have friends that have beekeeped for 50 years and have never had a swarm. So as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do.
We did have an issue when I was on council prior. Somebody had beehives down at the river bottom and didn't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they came to town looking for...
And they'll swarm in the trees, right? Clump.
Yeah.
So when they come, it's a huge, huge group to come.
Yeah.
I had that happen in Kamloops, like... One of my
small
evergreens, just totally filled with bees. Okay? So the only thing, the only recourse I had, I called a local beekeeper that was in the book.
Yeah.
And he came down, and once he located the queen bee, put it in the hive. And then an hour or so later, they were all in the hive, and away he went.
Yeah.
And I never saw them again.
And because we're such a small community, we could get... Swarming behavior like that could happen from any hives that are in the countryside around our village. Mm. So actually having beekeepers in town would mean we have people able to respond to that really quickly and take care of it before it becomes a problem.
What if someone is allergic to bees, like drastically?
They should probably already have an EpiPen then. You know, I mean, if you're going to go anaphylactic, chances are you've got an EpiPen already, right? Chances of getting bees, like, I don't know. We have bees in town as it is now, right? Without hives. Like, there's a bee yard just behind G3, and I've had bees in my yard already this year. And if you're...
Well, we always do.
Yeah, right?
Water running in the back.
Yeah, but I mean, this time, the only time bees really get aggressive and want to sting at you is if you're taking honey. And so when you go to pull honey, that's the only time. And even when we pull the honey through the year, that's the only time we really even wear our full suits and everything. Because that's the only time they get really upset. And they're not going to get upset and just start flying everywhere and going and stinging everybody. They just get upset with Karen when she's pulling the frames out and putting them in a different box. And they're going to be stinging Karen. But they're going to stay pretty close to the hive. Because by that time of year, they're already trying to protect what they've got. So they don't even wander too far.
And like in, there's residential hives in the city of Lethbridge. In the city of Calgary, city of Edmonton, even in apartments in the larger cities. So you have close contact with people with all these other communities already. And there's these bylaws haven't been revoked. They haven't, like, they've continue to evolve and get better to protect communities, but there haven't been a large number of complaints from aggressive bees, so that's why it continues to grow in Alberta.
How many hives are you talking about here?
We would be doing one to start with.
Yeah,
and then
one to start with, and then we recommended, based on other bylaws in larger cities, that after 2 years, if you're a beekeeper in good standing for 2 years, you can apply for a second hive with proper planning, like plans submitted and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you have to prove that you can keep the hive.
How big is the hive?
How many bees in a hive?
Okay.
Between 60,000 to 80,000 per hive in a peak season, so right at summer solstice.
How many stat?
Like by the time you farm super zone. So typically it's two boxes high, so it would be about 28 inches high for the two boxes, and then during flow season when you've got flowers blooming and stuff, you would add a box every couple weeks till you get to about four boxes high, which is 40 inches, 48 inches.
There's
and
a couple of hives up toward the waste depot, eh?
Okay.
I think there's, as you drive there, there's some in the field.
Oh, yeah, at the dump there? Yeah. There's a whole bee yard there, yeah.
I know we've had bees in our yard, but just pollinating the flowers and that, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's their main objective, right? If they're really chasing flowers and pollen. So
we're talking like 4 feet high.
Yeah, it depends. If you have a really good year, you can get up to about four boxes high, and then you would extract from that point. So the max you're ever going to really see a hive is going to be about 48 inches, yeah. So 4 feet.
And I suppose as long as there's a queen bee in charge, they don't wander too far, right?
No, they don't. You have forage bees and then nurse bees. So even when I say, you know, a max quantity of bees in a hive is going to be between 60,000 to 80,000, half of them are staying with the hive anyway because they're there to nurse the brood and take care of things, and you really only got about half of the bees going out for foraging. So,
and the education courses really cover where to place the hive and mm-hmm. how to place the opening so that the bees are coming and going in an area that is low traffic, so low pedestrian traffic and not near anywhere where your neighbors are coming in and out of their house, things like that. So you're generally directing the area where the bees are coming and going to like a back alley or like a fenced area or something with large shrubs around it so that they go up and then over. So they're not going like straight at person level in concentration. Mm-hmm. They disperse at higher levels. So
and honestly, unless you piss them off, they're not as aggressive as hornets. Hornets are the ones you know.
No, yeah,
you know,
hornets and wasps are what.
You know, the honeybees, the small bees that pollinate flowers and that, I've never seen a problem with those, you know.
The thing to remember, too, is that the honeybees will mostly be going into the fields. It's more of the native bees, the bumblebees and the little, like, fly-like bees that are the pollinators for gardens and such. So they won't generally be bothering the population too much.
I think you've answered all my questions.
Okay.
Well done, presentation.
Okay.
Okay. Switch it on.
On there?
Yeah.
One question, where do they go to get their beekeeping course? There's some links in the presentation there.
So those links there?
Yeah, there's some opportunities where if there's enough people interested, we could maybe bring an instructor in. Calgary offers regular courses, and there's also an online course available that's the link there as well.
So click this link here. I think you've answered all our questions. You gave us some good templates to go off of. Thank you.
Thank you.
need a hand? Got it?
Okay. All right. Moving on. Question period. Does anyone have any questions that they'd like to ask council or say anything?
So who makes the decision whether they can have it in this village or not?
We will discuss this.
You do, the four of you?
The three. She works for them.
What do they tell me to do?
So it doesn't go to a vote for the village?
But if it's a change... Something we'll have to talk about ourselves and...
If it's a change to the municipal development plan, it has to go, does it not, to if the land use bylaw has to be a public?
Yeah. This one isn't the land use bylaw.
This one isn't?
No.
Okay.
That's community standards, isn't it? I think it's animals.
Did you have some?
Animals in the village bylaw.
So that's just a normal.
Did you guys have the concerns?
I don't really, because, you know, my experience in Kamloops and what I've seen here, you know, like I've seen bees around the flowers outside the house when they're in full bloom, and they're just swarming in there, and you walk by, they just leave you alone, you know? I haven't been annoyed by them. It's the hornets that create a real problem. Mm-hmm. You know, those things are... But I haven't seen those around, so...
Well, I'm going to say 2 years ago, we had a problem with hornets.
Yeah,
wasps.
Yeah.
So what is the regulation on backyard bees or beekeeping in general in this village?
Well, it's brand new for us. So
currently it states that there shall be no person keeping bees.
Okay.
The current bylaw.
It's already in the bylaws.
Yeah.
Nobody does not have bees.
I think they brought up with previous council and they speed up it.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
why not have bees?
It might have been prior to you.
It had to be. I never heard it.
Yeah. Okay.
And as part of the presentation, was there any suggestions, or if you guys do approve beekeeping in the village, is there going to be like, are you guys going to limit number of hives?
Yes. According to the recommendation, is one hive. And if in 2 years you're in good standing, you can possibly go up to two hives.
Because in Calgary, it's a maximum of two, where for a short period of time, up to 2 months, you can have a third hive for when you need to split when the bees get really strong or something, and then that either needs to be sold or put back on the bees before winter. So I'm just curious why it was...
This was the recommendation for, and so we're just we haven't done any research on our own.
Oh,
yep. So,
well, my dad's part of the Calgary Beekeepers Association and does a lot of teaching on honeybees and native bees. So,
okay. Perfect. And they did make recommendations for the City of Edmonton and the City of Calgary in here.
What about the other villages? What are their opinions on beekeeping?
Our administrator will find that out.
Yeah.
I will do some research. I haven't checked into it at all, so just kind of waiting for the presentation. What council thinks?
Yeah, we've got a lot of things to look at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's something worth entertaining, for sure.
It's not something everyone would be interested in. So.
No.
There's not a fear of, like, you know, rampant bees throughout the village, I think, some of the other maybe.
Okay, so question period. Does anyone else have any questions? Any other questions? No? Okay. Approval of the minutes from February 18th. Were there any errors or omissions? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I motion to approve the minutes from Tuesday, February 18th.
Okay, all in favor of that motion, and that is carried. The Public Works Report, page 7. It's not. Sorry, it's on page 8. The only question I have. Sorry.
Yeah.
Did he go to Claire's home to do his job?
Thank you.
Yes.
He did.
He did. Yes. Yes. Okay. We were paid for it, but he did go.
We were paid for it.
Yeah,
yes.
We were. Yeah.
Is there a reason why Claire's home couldn't do their own story job?
It was for a resident here in town who had a relative that had a plug sewer in Claire's home.
Yep.
So they hired them to go.
Interesting.
So they would get paid travel and...
To be honest, I don't know what the bill actually worked out to. I think it was the hourly base rate. I'm hoping there was travel. I will ask.
Okay. Yes. Everybody got the same question.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Question on the water plant. Was the door left open from...
We believe so.
I was going to say...
Okay. Yeah. No. That's the assumption, anyways.
When is it done?
April 24th. And do we have our year-end reports?
Yes.
Do we?
We do. They were submitted on time.
Oh, well. We have Alberta Environment coming out Friday, actually.
Okay.
So, to do an inspection with us.
Okay.
It'll be me and Scott attending the inspection, not anyone else.
Okay. The meters, you had made mention in yours.
Yes.
So is that like a warranty issue for the ones that were installed that are already not working?
It could be, yes. So Scott told me just last week that actually one of the very first batches that we installed, the antenna wasn't working. So I said we need to send it back because it's not working. Right. So he put together 12 meters and antennas today and said... 8 of them weren't working or 6 of them weren't working or something. So I gave him the number to call for support, and the guy suggested waiting up to an hour for them to kick in and start to read. So he said he'd check him in the morning. So we're hoping. But we do have one that he switched out the antenna on, put a different antenna on, and still couldn't get a reading, but he didn't wait the hour.
So once he waits the hour... then it's good.
It should be kicking in,
but
and
don't
like
have to wait an hour every time.
No, it was just the first connection or something in order to do whatever it does. So yes. So we have a couple booked for Friday to get replaced, and then we have the plumber also for next Friday as well.
I should be able to do next Friday.
Okay.
I have to get a hold of Heather.
Perfect.
Moved to fire extinguisher in the office. I'm assuming it's in the wrong spot. Moved it closer to the
door. It was
door.
Right by the front door.
That's where it's supposed to be.
Okay. Heather said that she, as she was sitting there watching them do it the one day, she thought that could be grabbed off the wall and used as a weapon. So she wanted it moved behind the wall. So is that against?
Behind what wall?
Behind our glass.
Oh, well, that's...
Okay, yeah. It's right, I think, behind my desk, behind that half wall, kind of, or like the partition wall.
So code says that you're supposed to be able to, as you're leaving, if you're escaping a fire, you're supposed to be able to grab it as you're last and to put the fire out.
Okay.
So that's why it's supposed to be by the door as you're leaving.
Okay.
So it should by, so we should ideally
new
by
door,
the
right under the counter.
By the new, yeah, by the
either
by
okay.
the door.
Okay.
So ideally.
Okay. That makes
so
sense.
So if you don't want it by the exit
front
door.
Yeah.
Then by the
fire in
your
inner
door.
Okay. I will do that.
And then my last question is, talk to Paul about new guy doing formulas.
That one I don't know.
And who's Paul?
Paul is the old Simpson guy.
Oh.
And this new guy, I don't know what specific formulas he's doing wrong, but...
Okay. Like, what does the impact that have on us?
I don't think...
Okay.
I thought they just wrote numbers down on a sheet every day, so I'm not sure if it's something with the calibration for the chlorine or...
Because it used to be just a matter of typing the numbers in, and it...
They
the
don't even use the
preset.
Computer.
Oh.
They do it on a spreadsheet and handwrite it out. Oh, okay.
So, which I don't understand. Either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Somebody want to...
It's probably in the next thing, but the trees. I know the guy came and did the trees. Is he doing any more trees?
He did all the ones that he said were the issues. Yeah. So unless there's more that anybody notices.
I don't know if there is. I just wondered if he was going to do any more.
Okay. Okay. All right. The admin report. What are the issues with iTron now?
Well, actually, a guy stopped in today. He's a salesman for Neptune, the company that Champion uses. I was like, well, you could probably sell me on that right about now. I'm so sick of iTron. It actually ended up being an IT issue because they had put something on our system that was like a firewall blocking the iTron on the computer from talking to the tablet program or something. So we got that all cleared up. And then I asked him about the radio that we drive around with. I said, like, it's constantly losing connection. It takes me 3 hours to drive around 158 houses and pull the readings. And he told me, which I never knew, but it's shaped like this, and this is the radio. So I always just threw it on my seat and drove around town. He said, no, this is the radio signal, so anything 90 degrees out from the front of the radio is what you're reading. And he said, it's also meant to be a walkabout radio. It's not meant to be driven, so you can't go that fast. So it's only connected for 90 seconds, and then it kicks off because it... So I don't know why we have...
So you're supposed to walk the whole town?
Apparently it's a walking machine. It's not meant to be driven.
At 30 below in the wintertime, you're supposed to walk.
Apparently. I said, but I drive slow.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Well, yeah, and I mean, but he said, because I said it constantly is kicking off. Like, sometimes it'll lose connection, I'll have to re-scan or whatever. And then other times it just completely loses connection to everything. So I shut the tablet down, turn it back on. It takes about 5 minutes to cycle everything back on, and then it'll work for a little bit. And so it's, I don't know, the Neptune guy is going to send me information, and we might have to look at that.
Wow.
Yeah. But, so... It's an ongoing struggle every 2 months.
Okay. ATCO disconnection request.
So a phone call was made when I was away to get ATCO disconnected from the
tax recovery ones?
Yes, so we can demo those. And then the phone call didn't actually do anything. We actually were supposed to go in onto this Quick Connect program and submit a request and pay a fee. And when I did all that, and I keep bugging them, and they keep telling me it's a 4 to 6 week wait. So we had the county booked last Monday to come in and demo those houses, and they can't do it until the gas lines are disconnected. And they won't give me a time frame, even though I've specifically asked. Like, now it's in the planner's hands, and I don't know who the planner is. I don't know if that's Patrick, like our local ATCO guy that's going to come in and do it. Like, I feel like calling him and being like, you jump the queue a little bit here, because... The guy came in from the county today and said, if we wait any longer, Dixbury, we're going to have to haul all the way to Vulcan because the transfer station is going to be full. So that will add. Well, there you go.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. They said it's getting sent to the local area. I don't know.
Nothing anymore these days. I see him at the restaurant 3 times a week.
Well, you can hit him up and say, hey, if you're bored, come.
Yeah, because want to get those properties cleaned up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they wanted them done before the 1st of April. It was the county's goal, because that works with their time frame and everything. Yeah. So if we have to wait 4 to 6 weeks, like, they're not going to have
the time to do it.
Time or the landfill space to put it. So,
okay.
And I didn't know that this was a thing, or I would have been on it 2 months ago. But
The one should be ready for demolition already, but... East one should be totally.
Yeah, is there a big
See, gap? And she sent me a picture, and it shows two gas lines still going into the property. So she said, circle which lines you need cut. And I was like, well, two to those properties. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's there. So I circled them and said, that's what we need disconnected from the main that goes down the alley. So
Okay.
Yeah.
The exam, water exam, is it done?
Yes. The proctored ones are done. He needs to now get his results and put them into the government portal and then get in the queue to write his government tests, which I'm hoping he can do in the beginning of May.
He told me he passed them.
Pardon?
He told me he passed them.
That's the first set of tests. Now he has to do the government certification tests.
Oh, yeah.
And those are May or June or something?
May to June. May 5th is when the testing starts, and then it goes to June 17th or something like that. So, and those will be in Calgary.
So he's already got his results?
It popped up and said passed on the screen, but I haven't gotten an email confirmation yet. But they were closed all last week for the Banff. Conference, so she wasn't back in the office until today. So,
okay.
Hopefully, I'll hear tomorrow.
That's all my questions. Anybody else have any questions?
No.
Okay, can I have a motion to approve those two reports?
I move that we approve the Public Works and the Administrator report.
Okay. All those in favor, and that is carried. Correspondence? None?
Well, I got the Alberta Education Recognition.
Oh, right.
It went up by 25%, which is insane.
I've seen Calgary City Council is freaking out.
Champions went up 45%.
What can they do?
It's based on your equalized assessment, and these assessed values are from 2023, is what the education assessment is based on. So our assessed values jumped from 23 to 24, and they jumped again from 24 to 25. So our education assessment is just going to keep climbing, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's a flow-through tax that we have to put on properties. So,
wow.
Yep. What, $17,000?
Something like that. I think it was 57 to
$13,000.
It's 70 now.
It's
70 now, yeah.
57,000 up to 70,009. So, yeah. That's insane. Yeah. And then to go up 45, I just assumed it was province-wide, went up 22.
No, I've got this sheet that has all the different towns and villages, and like down in the south, everybody jumped by over 15 to 20%, and then other villages went up 6% or 8%, so I don't know there, but it's based on your equalized assessment, so maybe our property values are obviously gone higher down here than they are in different areas. So. But
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to finance. Did you have any other correspondence?
No.
Okay. Financial reports. So anything on the statement of cash from anybody? I had none.
So when does it even out where everybody's paid their taxes to... They're all paid.
So,
like the ones that pay in advance, you know what I mean?
Then when we levy. Like, it's just kind of a revolving. So they prepay up until June 1st, and then, or whenever we levy, and then we reassess what their
actual
levy is, and then charge them the difference for from June to December, or July to December.
It always confused. I mean, it doesn't confuse me. I understand that
it looks bleak.
Yeah. I guess get confused.
So if we've got on that current tax alone, $2,907.
Yeah. So that is only.
But that's utilities transfer.
Those, yes, because we haven't levied any current taxes according to the.
So that's still from before.
So this is utility bills that weren't paid that were transferred since January 1st.
In January.
Yeah. So this is only January 1st and forward because we don't have any.
You're not going to do it.
Depending on the properties. Right. So.
And her.
Yeah.
And her.
My discretion on the property.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. But that 57,000 tax arrears, that's taxes owing from last year. So arrears are anything prior to January 1st.
There's still a lot outstanding, my goodness.
found mine in my mail the other day. I'm like unpacking a box. I'm like, oh, no. Look at my pain.
That'll make a little dent.
Yeah. Tiny dent, but it sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so on to the income and income statement.
Mm-hmm.
So the year to date, how come there's no water bills on there as income revenue for January?
Because it's only January to February 28th, and we ran the water bills March 1st.
Yeah, but didn't we?
Because you're right. When we did the water bills in December, it dated them December 31st. So it messed it up. That's a really good question. I got to tell the auditors, actually.
Because then I seen also that the Waste Commission is like, oh, I guess it's on the payment register.
So
$60,000, like they
that
just
one,
cashed their check?
No, that one was the one that Heather deleted by accident. And from 2023 or 2022, when she was reversing the check that they lost. So I went in and did entries as per Mark, and that one was like a cancel out entry. So it wasn't actually paid, it was canceling out.
$60,000 one?
Yes. That was from 2023, and it was the entry that is here, it was canceling out the reversal that she had done. So we had to show the payment. I don't know how to explain it, but it's no money left our account.
Okay. I was panicking.
Yes.
When I we have not got a single $14,000 in revenue since the 1st of January, and the check to the Waste Commission was $60,000 alone.
We, as a note, have not received any invoices from the Waste Commission.
Still?
So we have not paid it.
I have a meeting next week.
Okay. We have not paid them anything because we don't have any invoices to pay.
Okay. Thank you for calming my heart a little
bit.
I was like, what the heck?
No, we went back and forth and sideways over how to fix that because you can't go back into the accounts payable in 2023 to do anything because it's locked. So we did our best.
And then what is this big thing for parks contracted services for $8,100?
Mm-hmm.
All the trees.
Yes.
The
trees.
Thank
you. Yeah.
I was like, what the heck? Winter time. What do we got going on? I missed. Okay.
So I get paid out with the grant, right?
Yes, it should. If we ever get our grant.
Are we finally finished with that or no?
Well, my SFEs got switched
to... coming up,
isn't it? Pardon?
That'd be coming up here.
Is it on my agenda? It could be.
No GFS?
Yeah, we can talk about it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think... I think that was all my questions. Does anyone else have any more questions for Kelly? If not, can I have a motion to accept the financials?
I move the financials and second.
Doug, all in favor? And that is carried. Old business. Okay.
So, LGFF grant, obviously still have not received it. Last week, I think it was, I talked to the grant advisor, and she had me change the SFEs to reflect the numbers that the auditors had, even though they're not right. They won't change their financial statements, so I had to change the SFEs. So they're in the queue to be certified right now. So when the auditors came yesterday, they started the 2024 audit, and he asked for my SFEs, and I said, I don't think I can do them, because when I went in to start entering information, it doesn't have my 2023 numbers populating, because they haven't certified it. So until they get my SOPs done, we don't get any grant money, and I can't send the new ones to the auditors. So, so that's a waiting game still. Okay. 2024 audit progress. So we had two auditors come yesterday, and then just one today. He told me today that he was booked for the whole week. I only had him down till tomorrow, so I don't know what he's doing.
You should just pop in on him once in a while and just see if he's got the game up on his
screen. Yeah. The one thing, well, they, because we didn't get our 2023 financials until December, we did nothing about the lagoon in the interim. And so he said, are you planning, did you do anything about that? And I said, well, no, because December 4th is when we got our financials, and that's when he told us officially that we were getting a qualified audit. And I said, we haven't done anything since then. I don't know that we will. That's up to council to discuss again. And he said, well, are you fine with a qualified audit? And they said, didn't do anything negative last year, so I don't know. And there's a new, another new standard that came out called revenue recognition. And they, Aaron sent this to me at 4:01 on Friday and asked me to fill it out. And it is basically taking every single revenue line that we have and asking us to explain when we recognize our revenue and how we show. So if the one example they gave me was building permits, which we don't do building permits, but so you give me $100 for building permits, at what point do I recognize that revenue? Is it when your building permit is complete? Is it substantially complete? Is it when, like, it's, I vented my frustration to him today, and I said, like, me even just filling out this spreadsheet is going to take like 3 or 4 hours of pointless time, because nobody cares that when I sell you a dog license, that's when my commitment to you as the revenue is exchanged hands and whatever. And he agreed with me, but of course, it's their standards that they have to audit. So I don't know exactly how to fill out some of the stuff that they're looking for, but it's,
anytime we put it in our bank, that should be recognized.
Well,
yeah. From you to me.
Yeah, and so they're saying like some revenue streams, like utilities. For us, it's different, and I tried to explain that to him. Like, we back bill, so we're billing for utilities that have already been given provided. And provided to our residents. Whereas if you were billing in advance or whatever, then basically, I asked him, I said, are we supposed to keep that money in a separate bank account then until we can recognize the revenue officially and then we move it over to our operating account? Like, I don't understand the point of this. And he said, oh, it's just all about how to show when your revenue is actually recognized, and it doesn't.
Why do you have to go line by line? Like, why can't you say, like, revenue in, mm-hmm. it's allotted?
Yep, it is. I will show you what he sent me. So these are all the different revenue lines of our financials that he has found. So there's about 10 of them. Municipal taxes are out of scope, and then transfers are out of scope, like any grants or anything like that. But then, so for user fees, I have to go in and fill this out and say what the revenue account is, what our balance was. I have to put notes in there, which I don't understand what the notes need to be. And then do I check whether I've appropriately recognized it under PS 3400. So it's a... I need to assess whether the revenues meet the criteria to be considered transactions with no performance obligations, a hybrid transaction, or a transaction with a performance obligation. And from that assessment, further documentation needs to be done around how revenue is currently recognized and a determination of whether or not this is in line with PS 3400.
Mm-hmm. And why are we doing 2023 balance when they already did the audit on 2023?
I think that's because that's what he pulled the numbers from. So I have to go in and update it to be 2024 because he's got year-end 2024 here. So I don't know. I need some more clarification on that one. And so Dagan was going to go back and ask Aaron.
What a waste of time and money.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you can tell by your audit. It's not like we're dealing in millions of dollars.
Well, and that's what
you
said.
You can
like,
tell
you
where
guys,
the money goes in and goes out.
Yeah.
Like,
I said, we're a small municipality. Like, this is such a waste of manpower and time and taxpayer dollars. And, like, you want us to pay money to hire an expert to tell us when to reclaim, like, how much it's going to cost in 50 to 100 years to reclaim a lagoon that we have no intentions of reclaiming or no financial, like, yeah. So, anyways, he indicated that because we didn't get an expert for the lagoon, that it would be another qualified audit. And I was like, well, I'd probably qualify too because I don't know how to do it. I feel like I really don't want to do that either.
And nor are we taking his recommendations to hire an accountant for $120,000, which is like a quarter of our budget for the year.
So what's the bad thing about a qualified
audit? Nothing that I can determine because we still get our grant money. It might affect us if we want to take out another debenture. It might be a black mark against us if we were looking for loans or something.
We don't have to do that. The whole point is to not have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
But if we have to spend $120,000 on an accountant, guaranteed we're going to have to take out money for a debenture. Wow.
What does Mark say about this thing? Have you talked to
him? So when we did our audit training, he said, does anybody want to help me work on a revenue recognition statement? And I said, yep, I do, because I don't know what it is. And I'd read through BDO's little blurbs and stuff like that, and I still couldn't quite get it. And he said, okay, we'll connect and we'll make up a draft, and then we'll send it out to all the villages so everybody can kind of do the same as he did with the ARO. And he never did. We never did get connected to do it. So he got busy with some other stuff, and then I'd actually emailed him on Friday, and he called me, and he's like, I don't have time to email you, but do you have a pen? And I said, sure. So I started writing down, and I could hear noise in the background. He goes, sorry, it's noisy. We're just at the mall. I was like, you don't need to call me from the mall. Like, this could have waited until Monday. No, it's fine. We're just waiting for haircuts. So I was like, gosh, it's the death of like, he is a gem. So anyways, but I will reach out to him about that as well, because it's a lot.
It just seems like a wasted expense.
It really does.
Like I say, if you have millions in your budget, I could see where you'd want that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't hide it anywhere.
No.
Yeah. Like, you can tell by reading the financial statement where everything goes in and out. Like it's,
Now.
Yeah, now we can. Okay. Thanks for that update.
Mm-hmm.
Alberta Community Partnership Grant.
Still have not heard anything. Gavin from MPE said that he's heard more and more communities have received confirmation that they've gotten the grant. So he's like, hopefully you'll hear soon, but I still haven't.
Okay.
So.
Horticultural.
Did you talk to...
I did.
Yeah? Okay.
The Lions Club would love... If they put them up at the campground, they would actually run another line to have them, the drip system, go right onto the plants that they put in. They said it probably would not cost a whole bunch, so they think that if we just ran another drip line off the existing line that we have, and that way they would do very well.
Perfect.
Nice. So do we just put them in touch with the Lions Club then?
Yep. And
okay. We don't need to be a middleman.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So will you relay that?
Yep, I can relay that. And who's the contact at the Lions that I should?
Either Danny or I think Eric is stepping back, so put Danny down. He's the one that kind of set him up in the first place.
Okay. Perfect.
Unpaid utilities to tax arrears.
Okay, so we sent out about, I think, between 6 and 8 letters stating that unless all the arrears
shown on their latest water bill, plus the latest water bill, were not paid. If they are not paid by March 31st, then water will be shut off April 1st.
Have you heard back, Kettle?
April 2nd. We've had full payment on one. So partial payment on another, and then unless something came in, I don't know about. But that's the two that I know for sure.
Good.
Moving on to new business.
Okay, so
I'm confused by this one.
Yeah.
Only because the last place that was in there was a trailer, modular home.
Yes. So last year we rezoned it to residential.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That it had been
we as in you rezoned it to residential. And then... the owner couldn't find a house that would fit there, that they liked, everything like that. She's since passed it, the property, on to a relative.
Okay.
And so they have found a manufactured home that they would like to place there.
Across from your
home. Yeah. So they would like to.
So we're
now
going back to where it was.
We are going back to where it was, yes. So we are rezoning it from residential back to manufactured home.
Did they pay for that?
Yes.
Yes.
We did.
Well, there's already some there, so it's not.
So, do one, we do first reading.
First reading, and then we have to set a public hearing.
Bylaw number 854, being a bylaw of the Village of Carmignier in the Province of Alberta, to amend bylaw number 742, being the municipal land use bylaw, whereas the Village Council is in receipt of an application for land use bylaw amendment to redesignate lands within the municipality as shown on the map in Schedule A, and whereas the purpose of the proposed bylaw number 854 is to redesignate the above noted lands from residential to manufacture to enable the land to be used for placement of a manufactured home on that parcel. So read this first time this 18th day of March 2025. All in favor? And that is carried. So they do have a place?
Yes.
Or
they
might? Okay.
Have a development permit submitted, but had to wait until this passes before they can submit it to the MPC because it would not pass because it's not designated properly.
Now, adjacent landowners have to be notified of the public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you want to set the public hearing
for the next meeting? Month? Can we do it next month? Okay.
So April 15th, I think, is our next meeting. 7 p.m.?
Sure.
Here? Or sure. At the office, maybe?
I'm sorry.
Going to have to be here, probably. Okay. Public hearing.
On what day?
The 15th of April.
April.
Here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spay and neuter program.
So Stephanie from Champion has talked to a company that does mobile spaying and neutering for
municipalities?
Yeah. For cats. What are they called? Wild cats.
Feral.
Feral cats, thank you. So she looked into it for Champion. It will cost about $15,000. Which they can't afford that for themselves, so they were wondering if we wanted to go in on it with them. My question was, how do you, like, they come in, it's a week-long kind of process.
No more orange cats.
She said they're booked up for this year, but might be able to come up with options if we wanted to go forward. They would host it in Champion at the community hall and possibly have others come to them. Basically,
The cat clinics are 4 days long, typically start on a Thursday to allow trapping teams 2 days in the community to trap cats before the day of the surgery. While we are in the community for all 4 days, there are things leading up to the clinic that we require the community's assistance with. When it comes to adding additional communities, it all depends on how many cats are in each area as to how much of an impact that we can make. We strive to trap and sterilize 80 to 100% of each cat colony to ensure the success of the program. If we're only getting a few cats from multiple locations, we are not addressing the entire issue and you will not see improvements in the community. So I don't know what kind of a feral cat program or problem, if it's that big of a problem in town.
So.
Yeah. The one across from me, they have oodles.
My question.
Cats are in their house, or they,
no, they're under sheds, and they, and then some people feed the outside cats, which then brings in the skunks, and they can't figure out that if you don't feed the cats, you don't feed the skunks, and the skunks will move on. Because that's a problem too.
$7,000.
But yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
They said that they fundraise the majority of it.
Sorry, I could tell them we're a hot spot. I could tell them two hot spots.
Yeah, they said ballpark idea of cost. We generally spend upwards of $25,000 to run a cat clinic. We ask the hosting communities to contribute $15,000, and we cover the remainder through donations and grants.
So. Holy cow.
But I guess if you're spaying or neutering like 180 to 200, 160 to 190 cats, like that's a lot of... Yeah, so basically... 4 to 6 weeks prior to the clinic, they announce the program in the local media, include educational material for cat owners, and advertise cat demographic survey to community members. 2 to 3 weeks prior, they locate, assess, and count cats. They identify problematic areas, speak with businesses and community members that live near the cat colonies, and create goodwill. This is done along with the results of the survey that they did. Clinic day one, they set up at the venue location, dispatch the trap teams to targeted areas in the community to commence trapping. Day two, they trap in the community. Day three is surgery day with volunteer veterinarians and registered veterinarian technicians. Day four, cats are returned to locations they were trapped. They pack up and head home. And then ongoing care, they have community caregivers that will monitor and care for the cats and reach out to their program if they have.
How much more is it if we get them to take the cats with them?
Like they don't do that.
That's when the SPCA took 90 from that house.
Yeah.
What house?
One down the street away a couple years ago.
90?
So I wasn't sure. I knew we had a cat problem. I didn't know if we have a $7,500 cat problem.
Yeah, that's
the thing. And my question was, how do you trap them and not get, like, Fluffy that's your own cat? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you know you're getting just feral cats? Like,
you can stay my cat.
I don't know, right? Like, that was my question. And then Stephanie's like, oh, my God, could you imagine if we all wrong cats in there? Like, that would be terrible. So I don't know how they do that. I'm sure
or
they have a way.
Sterilization.
Or maybe they tell everybody if you're a cat owner, keep your cat inside for the next 2 days.
Even if you had a cat owner, what would be the bad thing if it got spayed in?
Well,
I had mine booked to be spayed, and somebody got hurt. So we now have 5 fresh babies that I have to get rid of.
Oh.
So I would be happy to have my cat spayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how do you know that you get everybody, like, get all the feral cats?
Yeah,
there's that orange Tom, and he is very loving. There's a lot of orange cats in town.
I only have Owens comes over, and then that black and white one, that's all over town.
I think he's the one that got one.
Oh. Nice. Although I've seen him in my yard, but I've never seen this one.
If it's like 2 or 3, just hijack the cats for the day. And, like, would it be cheaper for the village to just pay for a few neuterings?
I think the point is they have to get like 90% of them, or else it doesn't do anything, right? You're only neutering part of the problem, fixing part of the problem.
I think it's just too expensive.
Yeah, I think we have to. Unless the community wants to do a mass fundraiser. And
yeah. It looks like it wouldn't be until next year anyways, because they're already booked up for this year unless some other community cancels. So.
It's $130 a cat.
Roughly. Wow.
Which is cheaper than if you take it in yourself.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Moving on. So we decline. Do we need a motion for that? Or
I can just let her know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Palliser Regional Schools Joint Use Agreement.
So the upcoming municipal election is also a school board trustee election, and Palliser would like to run their school board trustee election in conjunction with the village. So they... Did I touch it? I sent it to you guys separate.
Yeah.
So she just... It's her first year as the returning officer for Palliser. It's my first year as the returning officer for the village, so we're kind of flying blind here. I don't know what... I mean, it looked like a...
And then we would use their building? Is that the deal, or just...
They, like, I think basically, like, if I'm the returning officer doing the election here, I would just give out ballots for the school board and the municipal election.
Oh.
So I would do both. I don't think they're going to supply manpower.
Joint election costs, so we can pay you handsomely and give they'll pay half?
Okay.
Now, do we need to put in to a maximum of X dollars, or will they put that in there?
Well, that's what I wasn't sure. I didn't know if this is something that we've done before with Palliser, or if anybody has any feedback on...
I believe we have...
She, in her email, asked if we had a budget in mind. Because our trustee at the last parent council meeting said that Coaldale is anticipating the costs of the election for just the school board trustees to be like $15,000.
Why?
Because they have to hand count all their ballots and stuff now, whereas smaller municipalities we always did, so it wasn't a big deal. But any of the larger ones, it's going to cost the manpower for them to have people there counting paper ballots and stuff, I guess. So, I don't know.
No. Well, what do we
have?
Do we
have a place?
I don't know. Sorry?
She asked what do we have in the budget for
the special election. I don't know that we had a budget line for the election, to be honest.
We will this year.
We will, yeah.
We probably don't.
I might not have put it in yet.
Yeah, something.
I can look back. Well, you know, Patrick had, I don't know what.
Probably was $500 or something, probably not a whole bunch.
Yeah, I want to say it's around 500 here.
I don't even have a budget line in here for this. So. Because we would just need ballots and manpower, basically, right? Like.
But it kind of makes sense.
So do we do up to a maximum of $1,000?
Okay.
Because that would be $500 a piece. Does that sound?
Yeah.
I can't see it being.
Well, I think
And that's in the event that if somebody actually runs against the current trustee for this area, too, yeah. Right? So if they don't have anybody that runs against her, then it's a moot point. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So.
Any more discussion or anything else?
We have to do a motion.
Yeah.
I think we need a motion to sign the agreement.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion to sign the joint elections agreement with the Palliser School Division. That will be state up to 1,000. Okay, up to 1,000.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? And that is carried. Thank you. Development officer.
Okay, so ORSC put out that survey last year. They didn't get enough interest after the pricing scheme went out, so they have decided that they cannot do this. And I use Steve a lot, and I brought it up at the communications meeting, and there was like a bit of discussion, but nobody really had any ideas on how to support us, other than taking the training and learning and like reaching out to other administrators. But I feel like we're all in the same boat. And for our, well,
it almost seemed at that meeting that they, you know, there's a couple of them that they knew right away, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the other ones were just like, it's not an issue. Or
no. No, well, and to me,
most of them were like, we're just going to keep calling ORSC, and they're just going to keep doing what they're doing. And they're like, and I'm thinking, well, maybe they're not.
Well, and that's right. Like, Steve's busy because he was responding to emails a week ago that I sent back in February. So he doesn't have the time. And I feel bad every time I email him about stuff, but I don't know. And my argument at the communications meeting was there's been some questionable land use planning in the village in the past that is still causing issues to this day. So for me to have to take on the legal ramifications of signing these papers and giving out these permits and approving things, I'm not comfortable doing that without somebody with expertise behind me, because I don't know enough stuff. And even for our MPC meeting,
the county and the town were like,
I was hoping they would be like, hey, we'll help you.
We don't care, because
we have our own developers, our guys know
their shit, right? And they didn't really care. So, but they weren't volunteering to help out at all.
No, they weren't. Which is kind of what I was going for, is maybe the villages could pay into a share of a planner at one of their planners and like use them, you know.
But they weren't
twice a month or, you know, on an as-needed basis kind of thing. But
so we can't continue using
ORSC. Basically what ORSC has said is that they will offer some development training, development officer training, which Kelly has already said that's more piled onto her shoulders.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whether we send somebody else now to do the development training, which is an option. Now, I'm not saying that that is an option. Or what we do, but at this point, that's basically all they're offering is. What's his name? Christopher said, ORSC isn't going to be high and dry. If you ask a question, they'll answer the question. But they don't want to. They don't want to have that responsibility anymore. They want to just stick to planning.
Which is, like, a perfect example is I had an MPC meeting set for last Wednesday, and Steve emailed me, and I sent it out on Friday and confirmed it with everybody, and Steve emailed me Friday and said, I'm assuming since you're on holidays the week before and you just booked this meeting that you didn't notify all the adjacent landowners. It's a discretionary use, so they all need to be notified. And I went, nope, didn't know that, forgot to do that, I will do that on Monday morning kind of thing, and so I notified all the landowners. We had to bump the meeting till tomorrow night or Thursday night, but you don't, I I don't know what I don't know. And then he also sent like 2.5 pages of conditions that the MPC might want to consider for the development permit that we're discussing. And that's, I mean, maybe you guys would have known and brought some of those conditions up, but that's a lot of very particular information that's very important to have on these development permits so that we don't end up with a mess at the end of the day. So,
and it's always been money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I really...
Well, I think, and the one that she put in the chat room, I've heard nothing but negative stuff on that. Like, I don't know whether she's just got renters in there or whether...
I'm not sure. I was... She...
Oh.
But now I figured that out. Kind of
yeah.
But, yeah, so anyways, we'll have to... Yeah, one of the suggestions was to talk to somebody who's retired from Orsch recently and see if they wanted to take on some side work.
Oh, so who's retired?
I don't know. I don't know anybody there but Steve. So.
I wonder if Christopher would have some names.
Or maybe ask Steve.
Yeah.
Steve might have some names.
Because then we could just...
Like, it's not like we need them... daily.
No.
Well, and that's the thing. The other thing that people said was, oh, just use the templates that they provide you. Well, we were using a template for compliance letters. And I sent one to Steve because I said, can you explain to me how I'm supposed to word this one line? And he came back and said, oh, this whole letter's not right. Basically. Like, so he redid our compliance letter that we've been using for years and just basically fill in the blanks. Well, how do we know it's not right if we don't know it's not right? I
so
it was the template that we were...
It probably was. Like, yeah. But how do you know when it needs to be updated unless somebody tells you it needs to be updated? Yeah. And we don't know that stuff. So it's kind of... It's a vicious circle of...
Well, I like the idea. Let's see if we can find someone that is retired that might look for...
Just a...
You know, because that...
Occasional
that,
something...
That lady we had on for a while, she moved up to Hinton or something.
Mm, Sarah.
Sarah, yeah.
She was good at what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone like her.
Yeah.
Someone like... Because she knew her stuff.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And then if we do, then let's try and maybe get Jack involved.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was Loman. We're having problems. Let's see if maybe we can get him...
Yeah, a few different villages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would like to offload that.
Yeah,
if I could. That's one that stresses me out.
Well, there's so many ramifications if it's not done properly.
Yeah. Well, it is big time
legal
stuff, too, it could be potentially, right? So.
Okay. So, moving on. Summer students.
Basically, just for information, the grant application's been completed. I haven't advertised yet, but I'm assuming you're good with one summer student for the summer?
Yep.
Cool.
No? Awesome. Oh, I thought you said awful. Well, I was like, what? Okay. Moving on, reports. So, Orsk is there. Need any more discussion on that? No. Marquis, I forgot. Here's the financials. We had the auditors at our last meeting.
Okay.
So you can take them as information if you want to file them.
I think I got these. I think I got these. Did I not give these to you?
Yes.
I feel like these are familiar.
Okay. Yes.
I will file them. Thank you.
And then we did the policies. So we had a disgruntled employee that has taken us for some legal action, but I think it's all settled and done, and things are good. Mm-hmm. They started doing respite beds, so you can, if you want to go away, you can leave a loved one there for a couple days or whatever so that you can get a break. So, that's it. District Solid Waste, we have no meeting in February. We have a meeting next week. And I will ask them why we're not getting invoiced for garbage.
Perfect.
South Grove?
South Grove, we have our summit coming up right away. I don't remember the date. 28th?
I don't remember.
Yeah, whenever.
Okay.
We haven't had one for a while.
Okay. Twin Valley Regional Water Commission?
Meeting in April.
Mm-hmm. Meeting in April? Okay.
Yeah, we haven't had one since.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Must have changed it because I haven't got anything from it.
I put it in my phone, but I don't have any.
Mayors and Reeves of Southern Alberta, thanks for attending, Doug.
No problem. That was.
I have a question. This concern about post office charging for box rental.
I'll tell you what's happened there is it's because someone has done it as a non-profit or a business. There is no residential ones, but it's happening in what I think the one was Raymond, and then one other town down there. All of a sudden, they were starting to get charges for box rental when they never got them before. So, but it's nothing residential. It was strictly just. I think more on anything is an organization like the Lions Club or a community center, okay, something like that. Okay. And I think it was, I'm trying to think of what group it was that was so upset that they all of a sudden had to start paying them.
Convenience fee.
Yeah.
Okay. I was interested that Border Patrol changes. That's really interesting.
Unbelievable. The one farmer down there had, because he has to go on the road, and he was warned that after May 1st, he could get a fine.
And so how do you farm?
This is where I live.
Yeah.
And they said, well, that's the law. So they obviously didn't put any thought into it at all, into the law. And they said, something will probably happen before. They won't let that continue. But
you get fined for driving down your road all to tend to your farming. Yeah.
Satisfy some dick down in the States. Anyway, I think it was Dick. Maybe it was Bob. And then no one could answer my question why the Lethbridge Northern Irrigation District, it has put in, it's going to cost them $8.3 million to do 8.2 kilometers of piping instead of the canal. They're going to change to piping.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two other ones there, Bow River, $2.7 million for 16.7 kilometers. And Raymond is $3.8 million for 11.5 kilometers. And no one had obviously even read it because they said, I have no idea why that would be like that. And I said, so would anyone know? Well, someone probably. That's it.
Jeez. That's such a substantial difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like drilling through bedrock the whole way? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like $1 million a kilometer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Vulcan County Regional Emergency Partnership.
Well, there's too much there. We discuss the financials, you know.
Policy.
Policies, yeah.
Okay. FCSS?
That's tomorrow. Kay. No, Thursday.
Okay.
5 o'clock. Huh? I have FCSS at 5 o'clock, and then I told them I was leaving early so I could go to our MPC at 7.
Perfect.
So I'm doing it by
Zoom.
Zoom.
Okay. Vulcan County Communication. Y'all
Same
were
thing.
There?
Yeah.
So.
We're communicated.
Okay, perfect. Okie doke. So now that brings us, is there anything else we need to discuss?
No.
Okay. So we now have to move into closed session. So we have to ask you to leave. Thank you for coming. Do you need some green juice for the ride home?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you for coming.
Water and put it in.
Other things in my water cups.
Did you want the bee presentation to see?
Thank you.
Probably offer more insight on it.
I was hoping, I never get anywhere on time. So.
Thanks, Erica.
Thanks. Bye.
It was actually her husband that rescued the bees last time from Norm Coney's hedge.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They were living up at Milo and we called them.
Oh, cool.
What's her name?
Erica. Motion first.
I move to go into closed session at 8:21.
My motion to
come out of closed session at 9:10.
Okay. Make a motion.
You want to make a motion? Oh, where is it? I didn't write it down. For 115 grand.
Make motion to approve the sale of 115 Grand Avenue for $7,000.
Plus GST.
Plus GST.
All those in favor? And that is carried. Anything else to discuss? No. So I adjourn the meeting at 9:10.